Blog Talk Radio.
You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hatter and put to music and then sung by the poet Shout Even Shy. And what a beautiful collaboration that was with his words and her voice and music. You can hear that most nights as we start our shows here on allpoetry.com through A Team of Voices Radio. And we are a radio group, chat group, that's sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. And the foundation also hosts a contest once a month where, aside from the awards that are available through allpoetry.com and the points that are available through allpoetry.com, the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation also sponsors 2 free gold months of membership at All Poetry, and the grand prize each month of $100 cash. And again, this is A Team of Voices Radio, and my name is Deborah Lee. I am your hostess tonight, and I'm here with my big brother, none other than the writer of that beautiful poem, Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter. Glad you're here.
Hey, Deborah. Yeah, glad to be here. Yeah, I wish I could join those contests, but I can't.
I know, right? None of the board members get to enter the contest because the four of us, being, of course, A.P. Taylor and Sweet Pea and Hatter and myself, are the board members and the judges for the contest. So kind of wouldn't be fair if we entered. But, yeah.
Kind of.
It's always a hard thing to judge. We have some amazing people that write poetry at allpoetry.com and enter these contests. And it's such a difficult task to pick that we sit together, the four of us, on the phone and read to each other and then make our decisions. So anyway,
Everybody's gotten so good. Everybody's gotten so good at writing. Some of the poems are just hard to choose a better one. You got to bring your A game. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the one that will be set up towards the end of the month will be contest number 7, which means that the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation has already given away $600 since the start of these contests, not to mention the cost of the gold memberships for the bronze and silver winners of the contest. So it's a great thing.
What a generous thing.
Absolutely.
Very generous.
And we always get Kevin, the owner of allpoetry.com, to spotlight the contest for us. So just keep an eye out on the contest page under Spotlight, and you'll see the contest when it comes out. There are 30 spots available each month, and we do allow reserves, but only for 48 hours. So check it out.
Yeah.
Look forward to reading. Now, as far as tonight's show, we are in the middle of a series where I go and grab around 10 pieces of poetry lines from the poems written by my peers. And each Monday night, you have 10 of those quotes to choose from. And then I put up a whole bunch of art choices, and every poet is asked to pick a piece of art and one or more quotes and write us a poem and bring it and dazzle us with it. And so far, the call has been answered in spades. It's like every single week the poems get better and better and better, and the inspiration from our fellow poets has been out of this world, a little bit of something for everybody. So keep an eye on the topic boards for all the shows. They are all listed by the date of the show. So just if you know you'll be around, click on that date, and you can read up on what that host or hostess is giving as a prompt for that show's night. And just you can bring it and read for us, or you can send us a SoundCloud or a YouTube link or an MP3 or an MP4. And if you don't have access to any of those, most of the shows will assign readers for you if you request one. There's a couple shows that don't. It either has to be you reading or a recording, but most of them do. And on that note, we're going to get this show on the road, and I am going to say hello to Mr. Wayne Jent. Hey, Wayne, glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here. I'm lucky to be here, too.
What's up,
40 minutes ago, I was helping out somebody 40 minutes ago. I said, oh, no, I got to get home. So I rushed home and did a recording and all that in 40 minutes and cooked supper. So I've been rushing around for the last 30, 40 minutes, but I'm here.
And cooked supper? Well, aren't you a little bit of everything tonight, huh? The chef, the poet,
pretty busy.
Recorder? That's awesome, Wayne. And you always do such a great job with your recordings. And I get such a kick out of the fact that you do them so that you can listen to them, you know, with all the rest of us, which is really a cool thing. So, yeah. And I know you had some issues with your computer, so I'm glad things are straightened out and that you were able to call in. So, on that note, what I'm going to do is I put my link on the board, and I am going to read my poem from the quote by Jenny. And Jenny the Deep. Actually, I should have said her whole entire profile name, Jenny the Deep. And the art choices tonight were by the artist Gary Gay. And her quotes were colorful and beautiful and filled with nature and kitty cats and whatnot. So the art was as well. And if you click on the board, I will kick us off with my poem. And the quotes that I wrote to, oops, I went over and here we go. Hatter, that's going to get lost. Can you put it on the topic board?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's okay.
Yeah,
I just don't want it to get, I don't want it to get lost by accident. And I chose two. Scents of apples flows through the summer breeze, and apricot and marigold rays mixed with scarlet and violet skies. So those are Jenny the Deep's words. And my poem is called As Daylight Skies Transition into the Nighttime View. And here we go. Winds blow Mother Earth's perfume in the porch screen. Now scents of apples blow through the summer breeze from the farmer's orchard that lines the field outside town, filled with rows of crisp golden, red, and green apple trees. Sweet fruit aromas tickle taste buds and my mouth waters. Then as dusk sets in, the air cools and the sun slowly drops. Apricot and marigold rays mix with scarlet and violet skies, coloring the dusk views over houses and backyard treetops. The sun dives into the landscape, pulling day's colors with it, and clearing night skies for the opal moon to scale the yard. Now, as the moon hangs at center stage, circled by the stars, it throws beams on the elm trees that are standing at guard. End poem.
I got the wrong, I picked up the wrong one. Was there, Jenny put two?
Huh? What
I wasn't able to follow. I there was a link on the chat, and I picked it up, and it was the wrong, it wasn't that poem.
You, did you click on your own poem, maybe?
No, I'm Jenny the Deep. What was the title?
As Daylight Skies Transition into the Nighttime View.
Okay, I got it wrong. There was another one posted out there by Jenny. I picked up the wrong one.
By Jenny?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to history because it went over to the next page. And
oh, okay. It's cool. I was going to say, the only thing on the board at the moment is mine and yours and the link for the show and the topic board, but it's all good.
Okay.
And how about if I just skip it, Wayne will yell at me. So, Wayne, you want to comment before I go to the next poem?
Sure, sure. I can feel and see the picture you painted in this poem. Now the moon hangs at center stage by the stars. That's a great line there. This is a lovely poem. You did a great job with the read and the write. And we had a beautiful poem. I liked it a whole lot. Good job there, Deb.
Thank you very much, Wayne. Appreciate that. And I am going to – let me check the studio because I know that Sky had mentioned that she was working a double today, so I want to make sure that if I see her there, I get her in as quick as I can.
I'll keep an eye on that.
Okey-dokey.
Yeah.
All right. And in the meantime, I'm going to grab the link that Kay sent for us and get her sound going. Get back over here. Oops, I clicked on mine. Okay, let's try that again. All right, that is Kay's. Let me bring it over here to the board. And there we go. So if you guys click on Kay's link, please, I will push play.
Yeah. Got it. I got it.
Sweets of Roses and Baby's Breath by Kay. And twirls of shuffling feet, gowns dust the floor in charcoal pitch, through sequins of lace and beaded translucency. The chatter is lively, as lamplight dusk mahoganies through smoky air. The haze tinted and glides of red to peach through pristine billows. A snapshot of dance hall days, youth. End poem.
Brevity there. I like the title, Suits of Roses and Baby's Breath. It's, for some reason, it seems like a flower arrangement just isn't the same if there's not a little bit of baby's breath mixed in with it. And you can almost always count on getting some wrapped around roses when they come. I like that the gowns dust the floor in charcoal pitch through sequins of lace and beaded translucency. I think that's a stunning visual right there. And down towards the bottom, the haze tinting in glides of red to peach through pristine billows. The images in this are spectacular, and I'm trying to guess how many words. I was looking to see if she might have mentioned how many, but I'm saying that, you know, what's there? If there's 40, there's a lot, and it's an absolutely gorgeous piece. And I was looking, the quote that she wrote too is flying like a magical fairy guided by the moon's light. So the quote that Jenny wrote is gorgeous, and the poem that it inspired in Kay is gorgeous. And I think that lately, week after week, she's been coming up with these images that just knock my socks off in their beauty, just like this one did. And it's just like she has this singular way of coming up with wording and metaphors like no other poet, which, you know, of course, is what we all aspire to, is to write not like anyone else, but to make our own little niche, and she's definitely done that. And I noticed that it's on her Good, the Bad, and the Ugly list, which means in that fistful of words, she got a 10. And I've said it before on the shows, it's much harder to get a 10 with few words. Well, unless, of course, you're Stephen with his four-line 10s, but I think it's a lot harder to get that score with just a handful of words, and she manages to do it quite often. And a snapshot of dance hall days, youth. It brings back the thoughts of, you know, your nervousness and the beautifulness of it. I just think it's a great piece. Excellent brevity. What you think, Hatter?
Yeah, you know, that picture, I can smell the room. You know, an old building or an old room got that. I guess it's a musty type of smell. I remember the old the Moose Lodge and Elk Lodges, the old ones have that. That's what I immediately saw in that picture. But, yeah, Kay's got a way of describing things like nobody else. The only problem is she doesn't rhyme. I'm kidding.
I know. But,
in the baby's breath thing, when I draw flowers, they're always in it. Whether you can describe, whether you know it or not, baby breath is in the picture.
Yeah. Oh, and I was going to say, when you come up with wording like this and you put an image in somebody's head, doesn't have to rhyme. Just saying.
Yep.
Great comment.
Yep.
What do you think, Wayne?
Well, I've been practicing trying to write a two-word 10, and it's real hard to do that, so I'm going to try to give up on that. But anyway, I wrote this, and I said, in the twirls of shuffling feet, there's a lot of contentment in this poem. It's a lot of emotion, like a newborn baby emotion, where you're just kind of floating through. She wrote it nice and soft. It must be easy to smile even reading this poem. I love the brevity, and she did a good job this, Kay, and I appreciate it. Great job.
Here. Now I am going to grab Stevens because I like to try and put theirs on back to back. And I am his link right now. And oh, it's not a four-liner. He surprised me here. Okay, I am at the board now, and here comes Stephen 76. And in case he didn't say it on the video, he wrote to quote number five, sitting in a field of blue daffodils, she calls to the sky. And here comes his recording. Oh, let me let my sweet in first. Hello, sweet pea. Glad you're here.
Hello, sweet pea. Margaret.
Hey, sweet pea.
Unmuted. Sweet pea. You muted? Maybe your dogs are barking. Don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking it's probably the dog. So click on Stevens, and here comes the recording.
Okay.
To Die in Paradise by Stephen 76. Rusted keel that ran with speed through sea, now pitted and held fast in the sand. Epochal barnacles cling to chipping paint on a porous hull once smooth and grand. Shattered windows that once were clear leet the weather to dry rot the floor. Hawsers unbraiding and brittle to touch, and warping has jammed every door. Once bustling fishermen stood upon her sanded and sealed oaken deck, but now she sits watching days go by, being known as the ugly shipwreck. End poem.
When I saw the title as I was posting it, I thought, that's an interesting title, To Die in Paradise. Well, hey, if you got to go, doing in paradise sounds like a good deal to me. But the poem, the visuals there, like rusted keel that ran with speed through the sea, now pitted and held fast in the sand. And in the middle there, shattered windows that once were clear leave the weather to dry, rot on the floor. I think that the sadness of that boat, that probably in its glory was a shiny vessel that somebody was really proud of, and then now it just seems so sad to see it shipwrecked there, and the windows are out. Shattered windows that were once clear. It's very sad. And in the end there, once bustling fishermen stood upon her sanded and sealed oaken deck. And like I said, you could probably imagine the pretty clear coat on the deck and how awesome it looked. And like I said, they probably were so proud of it. And you have no idea what really happened. You just know that it's now sitting there as a shipwreck, and you figure if that was maybe capsized and eventually washed up shore, well, that would be dying in paradise because you're out there with the ocean and the skies and fishing, which I know that Stephen is a mega fan of. So there was, like I said, that although the image is perfect and it totally gives credence to the art and the quote, the sadness was really perfectly described here, and he made me feel not just for the person who once stood there, but for that boat that's now just in the sand. And I mean, maybe if it didn't wash to shore, it would have started like a reef or something, and there would have been fish and sharks and stuff swimming through it. But now it's not even a home for the fish under the water. It's just stuck in the sand, shipwrecked. So really, really sad. Fantastic job. Wayne, what you think?
I said, great right to the picture prompt. The picture is not as the picture or not. This is a wonderful ride. It's an ugly boat and an ugly wreck. The ship did its job, and the boat should be a monument. Oh, captain, my captain, sail on. Love the mood of this poem. I wish I could move into the ship and sing songs all day. Ahoy, mate. Good job.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And Hatter?
Yeah, it would be paradise if Marianne and Ginger was with us, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The people on the island. Marianne and Ginger, you know, Gilligan.
Great comment. Thank
totally
you.
Got it, Hatter.
And there we go. Sweet, you want to comment for Steven?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Steven, you have, again, this beautiful storytelling. Hold on one second. I lost my place. Ability. Take me to different places and different ways of taking me there. And I cannot, once again, oops, hold on. I'm sorry. Steven, hold on one second. I have a phrase I wanted to put in here, and it just jumped all over. You know, the once bustling fisherman stood upon her sand at the field open deck, and now she sits watching days go by being known as the open shipwreck. But even though she sits there, you painted a grander picture of her, that she was the seafaring goddess. And that's what I love about your poem, is that regardless of what she was, you paint the picture of who she had been. And just, she was a queen of what she had done and her purpose in life. And you have that way with you. And that's what I love about how you write your stories. And even though you painted this horrendous picture of this old battle sea ship, you gave her a life of her grandeur, and I found that beautiful.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much. And thank you, Kay and Stephen, for the awesome poems. And before we continue on, I wanted to say that over at A Poetic Slice of Life with Kay and Stephen, they're having another Sci-Fi Friday on a Wednesday. Let me make sure, right? The 21st is Wednesday. Yes, it is. Wednesday at 7:30. And it is part of the Captains series that Stephen's been presenting. This one is, well, they've all been from Star Trek, but this one is Captain Jonathan Archer, who was played by Scott Bakula. And Stephen has some really cool quotes that you can choose from to inspire your poem. And again, that's 7:30 on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, the 22nd at 8 o'clock, Sky Darkholm presents Storyboards. And this time she's doing Time Bandits from 1981. And she also has a link to take you to some quotes, or you can write about the movie itself, or the book. I'm looking, wait, is that a comic? A comic book, of course. And there's also a trailer to look at. So however Time Bandits inspires you, Sky would like to hear from you. And, okay, now let me see here.
Just saw that movie. Just had that movie on the TV the other day. Time Bandits.
Time Bandits?
Yeah. It's the one with the little little troll. The one with the little trolls, right? Yeah.
I'm looking here. Looks like there's a whole bunch of different stuff there. I think he travels through time and stuff. But, yeah, like I said, check out the trailer, and you can see some of the stuff there. And let me see here. Now, I put the poem by Titus Llewellyn on the board. It still amazes me that he's been able to participate so often in so many shows, because he is definitely working his butt off over there in his neck of the world in a really big project that he took on. So there is that. But in the meantime, I am taking a peek here to see if the quote is listed before I push play, just in case, because you can see the art when you click on it. Okay, and the quote that he chose is "Flying like a magical fairy guided by the moon's light." So go ahead and click on that, and I shall push play. Here we go.
These are your quotes, right?
No, my show got postponed, and I don't like to make I don't like to make the other poets wait. So I'll put mine later. Right now, I want to keep the other ones on track as scheduled. So this is Jenny the Deep. And here comes the poem.
Each phase of the moon, where the first realms of majesty are gathered, petals pertain first all birthright. A sublease given that the daffodils raise a trumpet each to the gods, to raise awareness, feeling at ease with ourselves. A caring heart is well lathered like sunflower seeds found at the central part, to waylay eight moods for their being or heart. A moon rests on its laurels, as so do my books. To illustrate the phase, the aims they do teach, with guidance apart, if not all, the inglenooks which show change as a blessing, as with age newly, yet the unknown is shown with whom, from seed to flower, a growth will encourage time. A layer upon layer, knowledge in bloom, the time is taken to look back and absorb the mystery surrounding an existence, albeit our histories are welcome, seen as like an orb, it will be kept more as a keepsake, to uphold the earth again, aspires our hopes will inherit, the meaning of life be put upon the horizon, a moon too late dissipates an eighth theory, shows a worse for wear that age had arisen, if not as first thought, then more so in spirit. This book of life with its many splendors, speaking of the past alleviations, gaze back, a time which in hope had we all as its lenders.
Wow.
Earth angels.
Yeah, it's always so gorgeous. Right from the get-go there, where the first realms of majesty are gathered, petals pertain first all birthright, a sublease. I think that's really clever there, all birthrights, a sublease. Down further, like sunflower seeds found at the central part to waylay eight moods for their being all heart. A moon rests in its laurels, as so do my books. I like that thought there of the seeds in the center. Waylay, eight moods. So clever. And with guidance, a part, if not all, the inglenooks which show change as a blessing, as with age newly, yet the unborn shown with whom, from seed to flower. I love how he put the comparison between blooming from a seed to a flower to the blessing of changes that come with age. I thought that was brilliant. And towards the in the last stanza there, our histories are welcome. Seen is like an orb. It will be kept more as a keepsake to uphold. The earth again aspires. Our hopes will inherit. The meaning of life be put upon the horizon, and the hopes will inherit. All we can do is to hope to leave something behind for those who come after us to inherit, or for those that we spend day to day with to keep in their memories, also inheriting the beauty of it. And you take his amazing wording and the music that he puts in the background, and it sets a mood, a tone, and it's always really gorgeous. And then couple it with his accent, which, I mean, he's an excellent reader. And to take these, okay, I know I say this often, but it's because, like, I'm still in awe of them. He's got tons of these Earth Angel poems, and it just, it's unbelievable. And he wrote
is that what's in the book?
I'm sorry?
Is that what's in the book, all the Earth Angel ones that he wrote about us, wrote for us?
Yeah, and he has blessed so many poets on this site with these, and it's just, can you imagine the amount of love and respect that is packed into the Earth Angels collection, and how many, like, I don't know, I really can't say that he made a lot of the guys cry, although they were, of course, extremely touched by it. But I can say from personal experience that a lot of us girls cried at the amazing gift of these poems from the Earth Angel collection. So, I mean, what a gift. What a great guy. And again, I say, I know he's working his butt off, so to take the time to send these in and make the recordings for us is even more special than it already is. So, like, I mean, thank you, Titus, and I hope that the job's going well, and I appreciate that you're still sending us your beautiful words. What you think, Hatter?
I think it classes the place up even when he's not around. He mentions the phases. Is there 8 phases to the moon? Is that what it is? He mentions it twice, the phases.
Yes.
There's 8 phases to them? Okay. I thought it was curious, sort of neat that he's got sunflowers and he's talking about the moon. Pretty cool. Yeah, I got to check that book out and see if it's included all the old ones that he wrote for us. He is such a good writer.
Yeah, like I'm fairly sure that he has them all in there, and the amount of poets that he's written for is staggering. And if you take a look, because he has a you know how you save them to particular lists? Well, he has an Earth Angels list, and the who's who of allpoetry.com are included in that book, and you'd be surprised how many names you'll recognize. But
does he include the names in the titles? I can't remember.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes. Right. Okay, so my sweet, will you comment for Titus, please?
Yeah, I really find this fascinating because he mentions the ace theory. A moon too late dissipates an ace theory. Meaning like put upon the horizon of the moon, too late to space of eight theory. And I'm assuming this is a big assumption that he's talking about the eight theories, the stages of our life, that we learn to trust, not trust. It's the 8 stages of development that you go through your life, autonomy versus shame. And it's kind of a theory of emotion that is basic fundamentals of psychological kind of test. And it's like the moon and how we develop and how we learn. And this is fascinating. I haven't read this one. And it's one I'll have to go through. But as we gaze back and we look, what have we learned? What have we done? And I love the last line, a time which we hope we had we as blenders. Because we don't have time. We don't have the earth or the moon or the sea for very long. And we don't lose very much of it. Our histories are welcome. And it will be kept more as a keepsake. You know, we go to places and we visit them and we buy the trinkets and we keep them and we look at them, and that's a memory for us. That's our keepsake. And that's what the world, that's what we are to the world, where it's keepsake. So the world said, hey, this is Pam. I'm going to keep her on a shelf for a while. She's here. I'm keeping her. And then when she's gone, she's just my little keepsake, like a little dusty knick-knack I bought, you know, at Route 66. And that comparison I thought was quite lovely, that I'm just the first little Route 66 keepsake. I found that quite a bit of sweet to the universe. I really enjoyed it. Very, very well done.
Fantastic comment, my dear. And before you read what you brought for us, you want to tell us what's happening Thursday?
Thursday is the element of fire. Fire is terrifying. It destroys the story of many things. It's a cleanser. It's relaxing. In front of a fireplace, and, you know, or a campfire, and make marshmallows, that it can tear through a forest and destroy the world. That's what it's about. We didn't start the fire, as Billy Joel said, but it's always burning. So just bring me what fire is to you. Does it destroy your life? Do you fear it? Are you comforted by it? What can it do? What does it do? It's always all about the element of fire in Thursday. That's what it's about for me.
Awesome.
And I actually love the quote tonight by Jenny. So the quote I chose from Miss Jenny is, author's notes here. There's prancing in fields of lavender columbine, yellow buttercup. We roll up our sleeves and continue on with it. This is called Between the Wrinkles of Time. The squeak of the rocking chair calmed Rosa as she watched the tangerine sunset fall below the black glass shimmer of her palm. A futile mindset, she pondered the future of her home. Glacier Horse Ranch, still running on four generations of stud bees, a steady and kinesis science. He was one with the wind, Kentucky Derby, Triple Crown winner, the reason for her land. Horse name of. A head full of strawberry blonde curls and a mind filled with resentment, sat in an oak desk and cursed ice the ceiling of unknown life. A horse neighed and she sighed. It's the era daydream. Ivy League educated, and she still smelled like horse dung. With no glass slippers in sight, Sierra closed the book for the night. She drifted to sleep, wishing her grandmother would sell the ring. In fields of vision, Sierra found herself among lavender columbines and yellow buttercups, watching a raven beauty fly on a roan horse. A visitor in a dream that was not her own, quietly asleep. Rosa dismounted ice and approached her granddaughter. You cannot know my past, see my present, or understand my tomorrow. Find your dream, be bold in your colors. Find your ice and fly. She woke to the death of her grandmother and the boldness in her eyes. Memories of her days on horseback with Rosa flooded her mind. Her dream was to raise and train generations of ice for them. Glacier Horse Ranch produced a long line of winning horses. In the twilight of her life, a head full of strawberry blonde curls told the story of real life between the wrinkles of time. About her grandmother came to her in a dream. Prancing fields of lavender columbine and yellow buttercups, we roll up our sleeves and continue to fight through.
sweet. For one thing, I love the mention of the strawberry curls there a few times. It's just such a tender, endearing, a head full of strawberry blonde curls and mine filled with resentment. And I'm, uh-oh. But there's still the thought of the little strawberry blonde curls is just so awesome. Sat at an oak desk and cursed ice for stealing an unknown life, a horse neighed, and she sighed, and Sierra daydreamed. There's an overwhelming sadness there with just the cursed ice for stealing an unknown life, and that was just, like, overwhelming. It was like, oh, no. Man. In a field of vision, Sierra found herself among lavender columbines and yellow buttercups, watching a raven beauty fly on a roan horse, a visitor in a dream that was not her own, she quietly observed. The journey that you took us on through each stanza, it was kind of, you know, very emotional, and it takes me back to the title there, Between the Wrinkles of Time. The things that go on between those wrinkles. Ivy League educated and still smelled like horse dung. That made me giggle a little bit with no glass slipper in sight. It was like, well, just like life, a roller coaster of emotions, the back and forth, the thought of the Ivy League education, but you can take the girl out of the horse dung, but you can't take the horse dung out of the girl is what kept in my mind there in that part. She woke She woke to the death of her grandmother and boldness in her eyes, memories of her days on horseback with Rosa flooded her mind. Her dream was to raise and train generations of Ice's revenge. And there, when you're close to your grandparents and they're usually one of the first losses in your life, obviously if you're blessed enough to have grandparents, that they live a long time, and doesn't matter how long you've had someone, and you always say, well, they, you know, they were blah blah age and they lived a long happy life, that's great, but it still rips your heart out. And just mentioning the death of a grandmother always gets me. My grandmother used to tell me all the time how special I was because I was the firstborn. And there's just certain things that grandmoms say that moms don't, that yeah, touch you forever. This is really awesome, sweet. And I can tell by the depth of emotion through here that you were really, really touched by it and pulled into memories, good and bad. But I think that you did an amazing job with the art, with the quote, and with the feel throughout these stanzas. It was a breathtaking write and read, really powerful. What'd you think, Hatter?
I love the storyline. The cadence and everything is there. There's an art to writing a storyline where you try to keep the storyline continuing in order and still keep it poetic. It's something that you just do for writing, keep writing a lot. But on the storyline here, is it that she, when she mentions she wishes grandma would sell her mom would sell the horse ranch, but then she says she's Ivy League educated, and at the end she's dreaming of to train the horses that came after. Is that right? That she
Actually, her grandmother was using the ranch as a stud ranch of stud fees. So he was using it more of a scientific, special scientific for the Derby winner and her dream.
Yeah.
But she was a writer, a trainer. So she chose to instead change the process of the ranch. It was not her dream to be a scientific ranch of horses. It was for her to train and run and race. So, you know, that was her dream. So she changed what the ranch had been for her generation.
Oh, I get it. Sure. So yeah, where you, what you purchase in reproduction of horses is a science to match up the right, the right sire. And very good.
Great comment, Hatter. And Wayne had to leave for a short time to go pick someone up, so I'm going to grab the next poem, which just happens to be by the poet who has written all the quotes that are inspiring us tonight. This is the poem by Jenny the Deep, and she sent us a SoundCloud. So if you click on her poem, I will push play and see what she brought for us.
Butterflies fly me to where the sun melts my pain. Magenta mixed with violet and indigo tears bleeding down from my burning eyes. Butterflies fluttering, passing me by, crying out to them, pleading for mercy. They turn around, hearing my misery. Flying through acid rain of broken hearts and shameful regrets, my pain is melting away. With butterfly kisses, safely I part. The apricot and marigold rays and scarlet and violet skies warm up my frozen, feeble heart. No more wasted tears. No more ridiculous fears. Away up here, I am safer near the heavens, full of grace, safe from my demons. End poem.
Oh, I love the fact that she wrote to the butterflies, fly me to where the sun melts my pain. The thought that they could fly you somewhere and melt away the pain is oh, wouldn't that be amazing? And the colors, magenta mixed with violet and indigo tears bleeding down from my burning eyes, butterflies fluttering, passing me by. Crying out to them, pleading for mercy, they turn around, hearing my misery. Just that opening stanza is a powerhouse, you know? Crying out to them, pleading for mercy. If only we could get that mercy from the butterflies. What an enchanting thought. And I like the last stanza there, no more wasted tears. No more ridiculous fears. Away up here, I am safe near the heavens, full of grace and safe from my demons. Well, I have to say that the thought of that place where there's no fear, no tears, safe and sound and no demons, I mean, just a totally enchanting thought. Wow. I think that if this would have been one of the ones that I had to choose from when I went and got quotes for her, I think I would have went with that closing stanza there, if not the butterflies fluttering and crying out for mercy. So I might have even, this is a brevity, but I think I might have even taken two parts from this one. It's got such an impact. 92 words and completely enchanted by them. Fly me to where the sun melts my pain, if only. Great share, Jenny. Sweet, what you think?
I I think it's like almost like a way to describe heaven, you know, where angels and butterflies take you to a place where the colors are so majestic and vivid and bright, and there are no fears or demons, and that's even for the butterflies, because right now the butterflies are in fear. The butterflies have demons chasing them, and they have to try to save them too. So that was my first thought, you know, not just for me, a place for the butterflies to get to and to go to that perfect kingdom. So I really thought that for them, oddly enough. But I wanted to go there. I wanted to be in that little safe place there. Thought it was well written in 92 words if you could find that sanctuary.
Great comment, sweet. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, I like the way she described, she's riding the butterflies there. She went through the acid rain, something real, and broken hearts, something even realer, and shameful regrets. My pain is melting away. So she flies above that to feel safe. It's a great angle. Well done.
Great comment. And let me see here.
And Deb, I just kind of want to make a comment back on Titus's poem, if I may.
You sure can.
Okay, so if I was smart enough to actually read the author's notes, which I did not, if you would read his author's notes on the stages of independence, development, you would know exactly what I was trying to say because it's in there. And I'm sorry, Titus, but I did not notice that before. So if you're listening to this show, yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to talk about. yeah, okay. So I apologize that I fumbled it because you have it in your author's notes. And it's really cool, and you should read it. Everybody, it's fantastic. It's brilliant. And there you go.
I like how you're laughing. Brilliant like him, huh?
Yeah, really. And I was like stumbling over it, and it's right there in the author's note.
I skipped
you know,
it too.
That happens to me sometimes too. But the thing is, I think what happens is sometimes you read it without the author's notes and you get this impression from it. And you sit with it, and then you see the author's notes, and sometimes you were spot on, and sometimes you weren't, and then you get this second impression of it, and then you wind up with double gifts. So, you know, just figure it was a double gift this time.
Well, I said I was going to go back and, you know, kind of look at it, and I went back, and I was going to make my comment, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, okay, Pam.
Sometimes I get caught up in his actual voice and his pronunciation, and I just get lulled in, and it's like I can just sit back and close my eyes and listen to him read, and then I'm like, shoot, I'm not going to have any clue where the lines were that I wanted to point out because I was literally taken away and on a journey just by listening to his voice, so... I guess all the way around, it's a compliment no matter how you look at it, right? All right, let me see here. Now,
absolutely.
A lot of times in the summertime, the shows go by a little quicker because that weather gets warmer and the people are out and about. So I think... Yeah, I'm looking. We've got about four. Yeah, we've got four left. Now, I know Wayne's going to call back and Sky. So we have two more before that because I want to wait for them. So I think I'll read for Angel and then maybe, Sweet, you could read for Pee-wee if you don't mind. So
I don't mind at all.
Alrighty, so I'll put angels on the board and I'll read for her. And I'm looking for her quote here. Okay, she has two. Scents of apples blow through the summer breeze, and apricot and marigold rays mixed with scarlet and violet skies. And that's funny because that's the same two I wrote to. So I'm looking forward. So this is called Majestic Moon by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. Scents of apples blow through the summer breeze, billowing the ecru lace curtains. Gazing out my bedroom window, I watch the golden moon rise. Apricot and marigold rays mix with scarlet and violet skies, stealing my breath in a sigh of awe. Majestic moon. And such a pretty brevity. I like how she threaded her words in with Jenny's. And I was trying to see if there was a word count here, but, I mean, we can all tell it was just a handful of words and just stunning imagery, just like the art and Jenny's quotes that she incorporated. And if you take a note there, this is a gold winner in the contest that she entered. With that kind of stunning imagery, it's easy to see why, you know. Very pretty work, Angel. And as always, it was my honor to be your reader. Let me get you a couple comments. Mr. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, great piece of brevity. I noticed when certain words are used by different poets, and they're unusual words, like billowing, Kay used that word also. That's not part of the quotes at all, right? It just happened to be. I just found that musing. Very colorful. I don't think in the way that most of the other poets do in colors. I don't use a lot of colors, which I've been trying to consciously do. But, well, the people that use and do a good job. This is apricot and marigolds mixed with scarlet and violet skies. Very good. I should have to do that more. Thank you, Angel.
Great comment, Hatter. And Sweet, while I grab Pee-wee's, will you comment for Angel, please?
Oh, absolutely. Scents of apples. Golden moon. Apricot and marigold rays. Feeling my breath in the size of it. I just put it all together, like golden apples, marigolds, and apricots. I just smell fall through all of this, and I love this smell of fall. I mean, every season has a scent. You can smell a winter storm. You can smell a spring rain. And you can smell fall. And that is like almost the perfect friction of fall smells too. And I don't know how you did it, but you just described the smell. And you did it beautifully. And in the middle of summer too.
There's a scent to
describe
apple, an apple.
Yeah, you just did it. I love it. Now I smell fall in my little nose. Okay.
Fabulous comment. See, it always amazes me when someone brings in a brevity and we are so touched or moved by the brevity that we come up with these comments that are way longer than the poem. And you got to think that is the power in a pen when you can move someone. You know how they say a picture's worth a thousand words? Well, sometimes an exceptional brevity is, too. Just saying. Awesome comments, everyone. And thank you, Angel. And, Sweet, I put Pee-wee's on the board.
Okay. All right, Mr. Pee-wee. let me see what I can do. We pray to the loquacious gods that I can do you justice. A sight, my people. If life affords you opportunity at a site like this, one must seize the moment, wish to be dismissed. Use vibrant and bright or emblazoned in mind, reflect surfaces, silhouettes, dancing on the eye. Single plume caressed surface of Olympic lake, causing slightest of ripple amid any lake. One diaphanous by no skin at all. Brightly feathered and eagle molted, no particular purpose anyway, so the butterfly told. Scents of the apples flow through the summer breeze, prancing through buttercup fields into our dreams. Apricot and magnolia rays meander into scarlet and violet skies, a setting sun poised to take his stand. Painter's smock brush and easel beside lake and coal. Inspiration bubbling over from marbled marigold. Captivated by sparkling radiance called out the sky, glimpse the magical fairy flying when she means light. Okay. I'm so sorry. Let me screw up your words. Give my read.
The apricot and marigold vine, is that part of the quote?
Yes. Yes. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I think that's okay because it's the same line that I read before.
Yeah, I was going to say, quite a few of us grabbed that one, I think, because it's so colorful. And it was easy to thread in, whether it be the end of a day or the beginning of a day. And thank you for reading, sweet. I like a single plume caress the surface of a limpid lake, causing the slightest of a ripple from its eminent. One diaphanous scraggly feather, an eagle molted, no particular purpose anyway, so the butterfly told. And I kind of like that was that those last words there, so the butterfly told. I thought that was really cool. And the scraggly feather of an eagle molted, I have this thing where, you know, it seems like whenever I'm on the beach, there's usually at least one, if not more, seagull feather to find. And in many cultures and in my brain, you know, usually it's some kind of message. And I think the fact that the word molted being there is a reminder that, it's not something. A feather doesn't mean the same thing if you pluck it from something versus if you find one that has fallen out. And I think that little nod there made me think of that, especially from an eagle because, you know, they're protected. So if you have an eagle feather, it better not be one you plucked. You better have stumbled across it. So, you know, sometimes just a word can...
Even that's illegal.
To pick it up off the ground?
Yes. You're not supposed to collect them or keep them.
Well, arrest me. I've got...
I know. What are they going to do?
I've got a couple cups, and if I stumble... And there's some amazing, beautiful bald eagles that live around here, and I guess... I never realized how big their heads can be until one day I was driving past a field and there was a roadkill and there was a couple eagles that were eating and the thing that struck me the most from the sight was that the buzzards were sort of waiting their turn with like this mad respect for these eagles. They didn't go near I don't want to say patiently waiting, because I'm sure that they were huffing and puffing and drooling waiting for their turn, but I found it remarkable that they were paying such respect to the eagles that they stood back while they ate first. So I sort of went on a journey there just from that eagle feather. So you never know what part of somebody's poem will just take you away, and that's the part that took me away. But the visuals throughout were fantastic, which makes it really cool that the title is A Sight, because, again, sometimes, you know how they say there are some things you can't unsee? Well, there's some things you don't want to unsee, and they stick with you in a beautiful way. Although it's never beautiful to watch animals picking apart bloody meat from a dead thing, but the amount of respect that those eagles commanded stuck with me, still does. And I'm pretty sure I've shared this story at least twice, maybe three times on the shows already, so obviously it did. But fantastic poem, Pee-wee. And Sweet, you read, what you think?
Unmuted.
Sweet, are you muted? Wait. $10,000 fine and 5 years in jail if you find one on the ground, Pee-wee?
Yeah, eagle feathers have to be turned in.
Yes.
They are. Eagle feathers are very, very, because my mother-in-law used to paint with them, and they had to have them numbered, certified, all kinds of stuff to have them. This much I know.
Wow. I had no clue. Is there others besides eagles that is like that, or no?
I don't know. I only know about eagle feathers.
I think there are some hawks that might be in that category.
Or
the owls.
The elusive dodo bird.
Oh, well, I'm just going to jail because I got hawks. I've got an owl or two. I've got a lot of seagull feathers. But like I said, I only ever pick up the ones I walk up and find. But, wow.
You know, years ago they had this, I think it was on Johnny Carson. So it was a lot of years ago. They had this kid that was put in the paper for his feather collection. And when they showed it, they got a knock on the door from the government people saying, you can't own those. And they didn't throw the kid in jail. They didn't fine him. So I think it's not – it's only enforced if
and
you are –
Doesn't it have to be a certain, part of the country or – I think there's something that you have to have certain whereabouts as far as – the eagle feather. I don't think it's like, because we have a lot of eagle feathers floating around here in Colorado too.
Yeah, they don't want anybody stalking the nests or harassing the birds at all,
right,
to get a feather. And that's what would happen, you know. As far as area, I don't think it's different than the States, but I want to believe that anything that approaches an endangered species would be automatically in that category. I'm just guessing at that, but the feathers, they had to take this kid, half his kid's feathers because he had the eagles and such.
Yeah.
I don't know about owls, but the size, if you take your hand and outstretch it completely, an eagle's talons are larger than that.
I know. I've had an eagle fly right over my windshield, like massive, massive eagle.
Yeah.
Of course, what did he have in his talons? But a snake. A snake. He was flying home with his dinner.
Yeah. They're absolutely huge.
They're huge.
Yeah, and they'll take large prey. They are bigger than, I mean, you know, maybe an eagle weighs maybe, I don't know, 20 pounds. maybe a big evil, but they're taking game foxes and sets that are, you know, four times their own weight, which is amazing.
It's crazy. Yeah. These are amazing creatures.
Yeah. I'm sitting here trying to think, like, you know, I'd be if there was a place or whatever, I'd be happy to turn mine over to a place that would be paying it.
Anyway, back to Kiwi's poem, which I thought was fabulous, fantastic, beautifully written, and, well, rhyme, cadence, and all of those things, and full of gorgeous metaphors and imagery, and as always, I'm a big fan of his.
I was just writing in my comment that it was amazing the amount of conversation that his poem inspired tonight, too. And, I mean,
sweet. You mentioned the apple orchard in the summer, right? Before you read that?
Yes.
And he mentions it, this is mentioned in this poem, scents of apples flow through the summer breeze. Is that just a coincidence?
I don't know.
No, that was one of the quotes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was one of Jenny's quotes.
Okay.
That one and the one with the marigold and scarlet sky seem to be used quite a lot tonight. Yeah. But okay, now I'm just trying to stall a little because I have Wayne's recording and I have Skye's, and Skye said she would call just after 11, and Wayne said a half hour, but we're not going to be here in a half hour because, as I said, we are on the last two. Hatter, put yours on the right show.
I changed it to another. It's not to one of her quotes, but it sort of fits as being a poet.
Okay, well then I'm going to put yours on the board right now, and you can read that one for us. So that's cool.
Okay.
And here it.
Yeah. This would be sort of for Jenny. I hope you don't mind if it rhymes. It goes like this. I wish to give a mention to those I give my attention, to all that write poetry. The wizard of words, the curse with no cure, a way to make them all see. My visions to share, to show how I care. The wants outweighs the needs. Tomorrow will matter. I will be Jay Hatter on the air on ATOV. Now this is tough. This isn't long enough. I need to find some more lines. I'll search my pockets to show I got it. I hope you don't mind if it rhymes. Welcome, my friends, to the show where I pretend to be somebody I'm not.
Hatter, you have had more second lines to go with that. I get a kick out of waiting to see what you say after where I pretend each time. I think that's going to be something that starts to be part of you, just like the words you cannot say, just saying. I like how you search your pockets to show I got it. I hope you don't mind if it rhymes. I thought that was cool. But all the way through how you mentioned ATOV and the my vision to share, to show how I care, the wants outweigh the needs. I with that Hatter rhyme and the sentiment in here, and the nod to the Wizard of Words, a curse with no cure, a way to make them all see. And when you said a curse with no cure, for a second there, I wondered if you were going to talk about that evil palindrome. But no, this is really, really cool, Hatter. Great share.
Thank you.
What you think?
Well, it's Hatter. It always matters with the Hatter. We don't talk about the palindrome. Never. That's like an evil word. The palindrome stays home. Yes. The evil one. But, you know, Death is Evil, too. We're going to have to start talking about her vanilla manilas because those are just as evil. We never call her out on those. Because I've never done one of those. Your evil vanillas is what I call them. The evil manilas. I know that's not what they're called, but you write them all the time.
Pantoums.
No. Not your pantoons. The ones that start with the B. What are those called? Vanilla, the...
The vinaigrettes.
You don't know.
No.
Okay.
There are the lines that repeat, the three lines and the...
Oh, yeah.
Vanilla,
you set them down to the next line, that's it?
Yes, AP knows what they're called, and I don't. Where the hell is that man when I need him? you write them all the time.
Oh, the Villanelles? Yeah,
yes, the evil Villanelles.
Yeah, no, that's AP. He can knock them out of the park. They're not easy, mm-hmm. and they have the lines carried down. But I do the pantoum.
You write them
more
too.
Often.
Well, your panty pantaloons and your evil vanillas.
I know what you mean. I feel handcuffed. I mean, I got so frustrated with sonnets. Because you know, I guess it's
now,
the way I talk.
A sonnet.
I know. I don't like the count. The count throws me off.
I think it's so
hard.
I do too. To be a true
I actually
sonnet.
Can pull off a sonnet, as unruly as that may sound. My very first sonnet, I got a gold. I don't know why, but I did.
Well, good. Probably because it was beauty.
I've only done one. Got a gold and went, ha, check, check, check.
Is that an 8 or a 10? 8 or a 10 on lines. Is that a 10?
So,
ten.
Hatter, what we need to do is make up our own form poetry and call it the AP Zeb form, and just make it up and see what they can do with it. Yeah.
You guys are a trip.
Maybe we should try that. Never know.
Well, I hope that works for Jenny.
Yeah, I'll see that works for Jenny.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. I put Wayne's on the board, and we'll play his recording. And then if
okay.
the guy's here, we'll read hers. If not, we don't do hers when she's not around. So
right.
we'll have to get her to bring it on the next show, and she'll do two. But in the meantime,
okay.
how about if you guys click on Wayne's, and I will push his recording.
Push Wayne's button.
And here it comes.
This is called Voyage of Life. Traveled years, places perceived, wonder of ways, thoughts believed, yearning messages never received, beach bungalow bar. Relaxed and relieved. Days devour drinking in bars. Silent night signals trying to cope. Flashes of flickering shooting stars. Fill my eyes with light and hope. In the morning mist, sing sail again. Compass needle, non-concerning. Waves and wind, forever my friend. Distant horizon, always yearning. No seashore head, only wishes. Sunset converse with flamingo fishes. Stars dance as I forgot them ducks. We'll make it no to nowhere with any luck. In.
Cool music in the background. Before I comment on the poem, I have to say that, you know how we call it, give each other little things and say, oh, that's a trademark of Wayne's. Well, aside from the fact that he's one of the king of alliterations, we say, end poem. He just says, end. And I just think that's so cool. And now back to his poem. You know, he's got this one here, traveled years, places perceived, wander of ways, thoughts believed, yearning messages never received, beach bungalow bar, relaxed and relieved. And the rhyme all the way down, the mono rhyme in the stanza is really cool. But I liked how the last part is the beach bungalow bar, relaxed and relieved. So no matter what was going on, you just kick back at the bar and have a cold one, and you're relaxed and relieved, and that made me giggle. I like in the second to the last stanza, in morning mist setting sail again, compass needle non-concerning, waves and wind forever my friend, distant horizon always yearning. And the waves and wind are forever my friend too. Even when it's cold, there's just something about the wind at the shore, and it's extra cold in the winter, of course, because of, you know, the ocean breeze. So some of the images I was getting from there were bringing up all kinds of different memories. But I really like distant horizon, always yearning. I think he did a great job with this, and he always does a really great job with the recordings. I was saying at the beginning of the show that I get a kick out of the fact that he does all this work ahead of time and then sends in the recording so that he can sit with us and listen to his poem too, which is really cool. And it's a shame he had to leave, but at least we got to hear his voice, and he was here for a while at the beginning. And I'm very glad that he got his computer back because he was missed for a while there. But fantastic share, Wayne. And Hatter, what you think?
You know, I like the way he mentions the wind being his friend. I guess back in the day, the worst thing that could happen is no wind at all. The ship just sits there baking in the sun. Let's see, what's the other part? The distant horizon journey. No seashore ahead, only wishes. Sunset converse with flamingo fishes. Stars dance as I forget, and duck will make it to nowhere with any luck. Yeah, when you got the sea in your blood, that's what it's all about, is just being, at sea. I can't imagine the bravery it was for it to be a sailor back in, you know, the 15th century or the 14th. Going, man, you don't know what's out there. There's still stories of sea monsters, the end of the world, you can fall off. I mean, that's like fighter pilot bravery. That was a good job.
Cool comment, Hatter. And my sweet, what you think?
I think he's putting Jimmy Buffett to shame tonight.
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett.
I mean, he's got his pirate tales and his rest and relaxation bars, and, you know, he's singing. He's got his cadence. He's got it all going tonight. This is, like, really something I can see Jimmy Buffett wailing on. You know, I don't know why, but to me, this is a Jimmy Buffett song. And I could just sit back with my rum, taking it back in the bar, and listening to the tales of this voyage. And let's go. Let's send this off to Jimmy. I want it sung.
right? We sit there relaxed and relieved with Wayne wasted away in Margaritaville.
I'm telling you, this is just superb.
Very, very cool. Great comments, both of you. And you know what? Talk about perfect timing, because Ms. Darkholm, okay, hold on a minute. Ms. Darkholm just got home, and we are on her poem, the last poem. But Dr. Wayne Gent is back. And Wayne, I don't know if you got to hear us talking about how wonderful your poem was, but Sweet thinks that you should have Jimmy Buffett sing it for you. Just saying.
I'm telling you, Jimmy Buffett, you put him to shame tonight. This is just as good as anything he's ever written.
I started at 3:30 this afternoon, started writing the poem, getting my prompt together, and it was tight getting it done with all the kids running around and everything, but it got done anyway. I'm glad you liked it.
I loved it. It's a Jimmy Buffett song.
All right. I'm a Jimmy Buffett man.
Well, there you go. Now you know what? You struck Sweet, and maybe we can get Jimmy Buffett to sing it for you. Or at the very least, you could maybe see if one of his tunes fits with it. And when Stephen has his next annual Jimmy Buffett special, you could bring that poem. That would be really cool.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
But, Wayne, the reason I put it on is because... The reason I put it on is because we were down to Yours and Skies, so I was going to do Yours and then close out, but then Sky got here just in time. So she's going to read the last poem of the night. And I also, Sky, I pushed your show, yours and both shows for Poetic Slice. So that was already taken care of. And do you have yourself settled? Because you said you just walked in. I was trying to stall a moment or two to give you a chance.
Yeah, I am, and thank
read
you.
Read it now.
All right.
Read it now.
This is called, so I wrote to the quote, "Flying like a magical fairy guided by the moonlight, she takes the moon back home," by Jenny the Deep. And this is an old 64 country wagon train. Pastels of bottle rocket pyrographics are graffitied like confectionery confetti on that old 64 country wagon train. And as heels thrum like string on the outside door of boxed parallels, her chestnut ribbons unfurl and astral curl, flying flat on the front bench, head tilted in such a way as to see the candor in my green grays. I, the mirror of her position, as we drink in fairy dust and starlight, moon tracks traveling beside gravity, hovering on windshields, peeking in all those vulnerabilities on Earth and home.
I'm really glad you made it home in time to read for us, Sky. I'm going to start at the end there. Moon tracks traveling beside gravity, hovering on windshield, peeking in on all those vulnerabilities on Earth. I loved the ending stanza there. There's something about unearthing the vulnerabilities that was unexpected, but yet it went really well with the glow in that old car sitting there. And I like how you pulled out that 64 country wagon train. Really cool. But I also, in the second stanza there, on the outside door, boxed parallel, her chestnut ribbon unfurls an astral curve. Boxed parallels. How awesome. What a fantastic metaphor. Oh, and another one, graffitied like confectionery confetti kind of a tongue twister, but really cool. Like the explosions, the firework-ishness there. Graffitied, confectionery, confetti. Brilliant wording. And I'm going to save a couple lines so that somebody else has something to say. But I like how you pulled in the magicalness. Magicalness, is that a word? Well, you know what I mean. From the quote and pulled it through here. But again, I'm going to say it because it bears repeating. Those peeking in on all those vulnerabilities unearthed. I thought that was a brilliant way to end it. And there is something, to me, there's these vulnerabilities where you're standing there and there's these explosions going on and the lights are lighting up. And we enjoy that light show and the feeling of being vulnerable under these explosions. And then the vulnerabilities hit me in a different way, because I know that a lot of times the fireworks set off trigger, it's a trigger for PTSD for some military people. So those vulnerabilities can say so many different things there. So I like the approach that you took here. And again, I'm so glad you made it.
Thank you, Deb. I couldn't help but grow a in a little romanticism way. I haven't written romantic in a while, but in using, you know, first of all, you know, of course, I've seen the station wagon, but using it down in the second stanza coming in where, you know, two people lying on that bench seat, but in opposite ways with their legs, you know, out the window and kind of just talking in the night, and the idea of the fireworks being two people connecting in that metaphor. And so the line on the outside door of boxed parallels, her chestnut ribbons unfurl among the holes. It's supposed to be the boxed parallels. It's supposed to be the parallels of metaphor that the boxcar has, and then like the box of your heart. So heels drum like strings, and it's supposed to be the parallels of the two metaphors coming together. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a long one, so it might be a little vague.
Awesome. And Hatter, did you want to say
something? From? Are you making up words again? No, it's a real word. It's an instrument. It's a tickle in me. You
I thought it was a great thought.
It's almost like plucking the string of an instrument.
So if I strum, I'm doing it. If I'm the string, I've been thrummed, right?
Yep. Thrum is the
thing. Okay.
Fucking
I thought that was great.
Way cool. And Wayne, did you want to comment for Sky?
Yes, just I would. I said, this brings back memories. My first ride was a 63 red Chevy Nova station wagon. And we drank the fairy dust and the starlight. It was my hippie mobile years. Had curtains, carpet, and an 8-track player. And Scott said those were magical years. And this poem was great, and it brought back memories and made me smile. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And the last comment of the night goes to my sweet pea.
I love this. The chestnut ribbons unfurl in astral gold. Head tilted in such a way as to see the candor in my face, my green gray. Yes, and that line, everyone is there. As heels thrum like strings in the outside door of boxes. What a fantastic metaphor. And the visual, can take you to so many places, so many fantasies, so many thoughts. What are the fireworks? Where are they coming from? Internally, externally? I'll never know. But their minds think you just provided the perfect path. And for that, Thank you, sweet.
Fabulous comment.
And of course, the visual of your green grave, that helps too.
All right, and I want to take a moment to have you take a peek at the board. We are continuing on the series again next week, and the poet words that we'll be featuring are those of Purple Chaos. I picked out some really awesome quotes, if I do say so myself, and she rarely ever says anything good about her own work, which a lot of us don't, but she said to me, oh, well, I like a couple of the ones you picked. So that was high praise because, like I said, she doesn't usually say something of hers is great. So there's 10 great quotes to choose from. And then I picked the artist Jessica Elaine because, for one thing, her art, of course, went with the quotes. But for two, my goodness, it must be a couple years now, but don't quote me on that part. But the profile picture that Chaos uses is one that I had sent her just because I thought she would, you know, like the picture, maybe be inspired by it a couple years back. And she turned it into her profile picture, and it's been there ever since. So I figured if she liked it enough to make it her profile picture, I couldn't go wrong by picking Jessica Elaine art to go with her quotes. So I put the link on the board. Anybody who didn't already choose their art to go with her words, go ahead and click on there. And I would also like to point out, this has happened just a few times during the series, but on this particular set of quotes, Purple Chaos has requested that we do not use her words in your poem. Just reference them in your author's notes so that we know which one is when we read the poem, but please do not put her words in your poem itself. Just use them as inspiration. So like I said, go ahead and click on there and choose your art. And I didn't want to throw you under the bus, but hey, it's
it was me. I was enlightened. I agree.
Well, what she asked is, I always asked before I used them, and she had said to me, you know, yes, that would be great, just one thing. And I said, oh, yeah, it's not a problem. You're not the first one to ask that, you know. And I think, I won't throw the other person under the bus just in case, but I think I know all three of them were ladies, and Chaos and Sky and one other poet, and that is perfectly fine. I want to do what the poet wants. I want to respect their wishes. So please, if you've already written your poem, double check to make sure they're not in there, because that stipulation was in there from the day I made the topic. So if it's in your poem, please delete it and just put them in your author's notes. But on that note, I'm going to do the closeout. And Wayne, I'm thrilled that you called back, and I'm glad that your computer's working. And Sky, I'm so happy that you made it home in time to read for us, because I thought you were going to have to read two poems the next time you call, which isn't a bad thing anyhow. But
great night.
Yes.
Thank you.
On that note, I'd like to. Wayne, did you want to say something? Oh, I thought I heard his voice. On that note, I would like to thank Jenny the Deep for all the amazing lines that we use to inspire the awesome poetry tonight. I would like to thank the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation for sponsoring us. I'd like to thank the board, Hutter and Sweet, and myself. Yeah, I'm thanking myself. That was kind of weird. And to A.P. Taylor. Thank you, me.
I think you were just listing the people on the board, so that so then you.
I was.
You
and went earlier.
And
I was.
I understand.
Right. Earlier, I was mentioning that the four board members couldn't win in the monthly contests. And so I guess I just had it stuck in my mind. And remember, guys, keep an eye out because the seventh contest sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation will be coming out soon, and he's already given away $600 in these in this series. So that's coming soon. And I want to say thank you to Kay and Steven and Jenny and Pee-wee and Angel and Tony and Sky and Sweet and Hatter and Mr. Wayne Gent. These shows wouldn't be the same without all of you. I feel very honored to get to hang out with you. And we're off tomorrow, so enjoy your time, and maybe you can check out the topic board and write for one of the poems there, and then shoot on over and look at the list for Poetic Slice for the two shows over there with Star Trek and with Time Bandits. And on that note, I think I will take us out in the same manner in which we started, with the amazing poem written by Jay Hatter that was turned into a song by Shout Even Shy that she sings for us and wrote the music for. Appreciate you all. Love and respect.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down trying to run away and watching more.
awesome song, Hatter.
Sure, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah.
Night, Hatter.
Good night.
Love and respect, everyone. See you next week for the words of Purple Chaos. Night.
All right, guys.